Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us in giving us your word and sending your son. And Father, we thank you for this series in the I Ams, and we thank you for this very passage. We pray that you'd help us to hear this afresh and to take on Jesus' invitation to remain in him. And Father, we pray that we'd understand what that means and leave here today as changed people. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as some of you know, I'm about to take 5 weeks of long service leave. Not just for my time here at Menai, because frankly, I've only been here 20 months and I don't deserve long service leave, but it's been 16 years since I left college and have been in full-time ministry. And so, with my family, I'm heading overseas to get away from things and to recharge and prepare ourselves for the next season of work, school, and for me, ministry. And I'd be lying if I said that I wasn't just a tad excited about this trip. But as I prepared this talk, it gave me the chance to think back over this last season of ministry. And like all God's word often does, this word from today has challenged me. Indeed, it's rebuked me as to just how much fruit for God I have produced over this time. Now, we'll get on to what this fruit is in a moment, but suffice to say, I think it's been a little bit of a mixed bag for me. Over these last 5 years or so, I've definitely worked hard. I've sacrificed much. I've sought to live in a way that pleases God. I've done some hard and pain, made some hard and painful decisions to honour God. I've recaptured my commitment to reading God's word each day and have helped numerous people know and grow in their relationship with Jesus. But on reflection, I have finished this season tired. I've struggled with anxiety in my ministry and my relationships. I've sought to do too much on my own strength. And Jesus has not always had the rightful place he deserves in my life. Although I have some fruit to show, I am sad that there's not more. And on reflection, I think I've just made my life and my ministry more complicated than it needs to be. And I suspect I'm not the only person here this morning that feels like this. For as we've been hearing over these last weeks, what Jesus expects of us is really not all that complicated. He says, I am the good shepherd. You are the sheep. All you need to do is follow me. Don't be anxious. I will provide for you. I will protect you from your enemies. You don't have to fear anything. When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I've got you. I've got you. And yet, here we are as his sheep, all stressed out, worried about this, anxious about that, stressed out about everything. And yet he tells us, don't be anxious about anything. And again, here in John 15, he says, I am the vine. Don't you get this? I am the vine. I am the true vine. You are simply the branches. And he says, look, you don't need to do anything. You're just a branch. All you've got to do is remain in me. Stay connected to the vine. It's just that easy. I mean, let's be honest. Everything that Jesus has told us in this series haven't been all that hard, have they? I'm a sheep. You're the shepherd. Okay. Bah, I follow you. I'm a sheep. You're the gate. All right. Bah, I've just got to go through you. You're the light of the world. If I want to truly understand this life and how to find life, I've just got to do it in your path, in your light. You're the bread of life. If I want to be truly satisfied, if I want to have my hunger satisfied, I just need to eat of you, to consume of you and your word. You are the resurrection and the life. And even through the hard times I may face, even when the wheels fall off, Even when I can't see anything as to what's going to happen, I know for certain, that you have secured my eternal life. Because you have gone before me. You have been raised and with promises that you will raise me too. You are the resurrection and the life. I'm just a branch. You're the vine. You just tell me to stay connected to you. And fruit will happen. It's really not all that complicated, is it? We so easily complicate things and stress ourselves out, and then we start deceiving and telling lies to cover them up and pretending that we're something that we're not. And Jesus is saying, guys, would you please just rest? You're my sheep. I'm the shepherd. You're the branch. I'm the vine. All you've got to do is remain in me and you will bear fruit. And it's fruit that will last. Now, friends, there's some imagery in our passage today that probably doesn't strike us like it would strike a first century Jew. You see, when Jesus says, I am the true vine, that's just loaded with meaning. Throughout the Old Testament, that imagery of the vine is used of God's people. In the Old Testament, if you come across the imagery of someone or something being the vine, then that was always Israel, or the people of God. And yet the majority of times it's used in the Old Testament, it's used negatively. In the Old Testament, when Israel was the vine, like in our first reading from Psalm 80, it was nearly always accompanied with a declaration that they were a vine that did not produce the fruit that God wanted. And therefore the wrath of God was coming. When you heard vine terminology in the first century, if you were a Jew, it was almost always with a pronouncement of judgments. Yet Jesus here turns it on its head. He says, I am the true vine. In short, he's saying, I am doing what you cannot do. I am being what you have not been able to be. I'm everything you're meant to be. I am the true Israel. Now, this is nothing short of a gospel declaration from Jesus. He's stepping into their place and saying, I've got this for you. That's what just happened when Jesus said, I am the true vine. You have not been able to be fruitful in a way that pleases God, but I've got you. I am the true vine. He's rescuing this imagery of judgment, this imagery of failure, this imagery of no matter how hard they worked, no matter how hard they tried, they always fell short. He's stepping into that mess that you and I are prone today to feel, and they were prone to feel in the first century, and he's saying, no, I've got you. I'm the true vine. You're not the true vine. The type of fruitfulness that pleases the Lord that you have been unable to walk in, I can now make possible for you. But for this to happen, we need to be connected to Him. For if I'm not connected to Jesus, I am guaranteed no fruit. We heard it there in our reading, didn't we? Verse 4. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Well, I brought a branch along today. You would have noticed that when I came in today. It was actually down here so that nobody knew before, but I didn't have it at the front. Now, this particular branch, I've just been told, doesn't produce fruit, so you've got to imagine that this is a branch that could produce fruit. And I want us all to try very, very hard to help this branch produce fruit. Can we do that? Can we all think really, really carefully and help this branch produce fruit? I don't think you're taking me seriously here. What's wrong? It's stupid, isn't it? It's absurd that this branch, despite the fact it can't produce fruit, even if it was a fruit tree branch, it can't produce fruit, can it? Why? It's disconnected from its source of life, isn't it? completely disconnected from its source of life. And I guess we could staple on an apple and say, well, there we go, it produced fruit. But that's just phony, isn't it? But isn't that what we're like sometimes? We disconnect ourselves from the source of life. We take it on our own strength. We live trying to do things to try and please God and others on our own strength without being connected to the source of life. And Jesus just looks down and said, that's just absurd. It's as though we go, I must produce fruit. I must produce fruit. I mean, Jesus looks down and goes, what are you doing? You can't produce fruit unless you're connected to the vine, unless you're connected to me. And all that branch is useful for is to be thrown into the fire and burned. It's dead. But then he says in the very next verse, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And so you see, he gives us a guarantee that if we do remain in him, if we stay connected to him, fruit happens. Now, if I'm honest with you, this is where I really struggle. I'm so easily attracted to every new strategy out there to win new believers, or to run better growth groups, or to grow closer to God. And I'm tempted to follow the person or the system that bears the most fruit out there that I can see. And I want to be in that, and so I connect myself to the person or to the system instead of relying on Jesus and just staying in Jesus and saying, if I just stay connected to you, you will bear fruit. How about you? Are you remaining in Jesus, connected to him? Or in truth, are you more connected to something else? Sometimes I fear that we so easily attach ourselves to some great preacher or some wise teacher rather than to Jesus. We label ourselves, I'm a Calvinist, I'm an Arminian, I follow Philip Jensen, I follow whoever it be, Charles Swindle, whoever it might be that you actually follow, you fill in the blank. And sure, these guys, they may have helped us in some things, but to say that, but if that's where we stay connected, well, it's a little bit like connecting yourself to Moses instead of going up the hill and being with God. You know, when the Israelites, they came to the bottom of Mount Sinai and they were there, and only Moses got to go up the hill, didn't he, to actually spend time with God, and he came back down. But in Jesus, of course, that barrier between God and us has been totally gotten rid of. The curtain in the temple was torn in two. We have now direct access to God. But it's almost as though we kind of want to hang out with Moses rather than now having the privilege of being able to go up the hill and being with God. Doesn't make any sense. We have direct access to God through Jesus, through his death on the cross, through all that he's done for us. Why would we just want to hang out with his followers when we can hang out with him? Why would we connect ourselves to the preachers or to the teachers than actually be with the source of life himself? Who are you connected to? Who have you attached your branch to? Because Jesus says, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. In fact, in verse 8, he goes on to say, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You see, friends, if you want to honour God, if you want him to be glorified, then start producing fruit. Because that's what it is that brings glory to him. You don't need to, but to do this, you don't need to go off and try to produce fruit on your own. Now, this fruit's only produced when you stay connected to Jesus. In fact, so keen is God for his own glory that he prunes us to make sure that we are more fruitful. I don't know if you saw that in verses 1 and 2. It's kind of not what you want to read, but it's there. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You see, to be a Christian is to bear fruit. If there's no fruits, there's no genuine belief. We know people, don't we? Grown up with us, look like Christians, but there's no fruit. We've got to be careful, don't we? That we are connected to that vine, because it is possible that we are fooling ourselves. We're going along with the club, but we're not connected to its source. How you define, of course, fruit at this point matters. You see, if you define the fruit as some kind of external moral religious ways, the good deeds you do, well, you're no better than the Pharisees, because that's not how Jesus defines fruit. He's saying here, if you don't bear any fruit at all, you get cut off. But what about those who do bear fruit? Well, those who do bear fruit get pruned. Now, why would the Lord prune what is fruitful? Well, he tells us so we can bear more fruit. Now, I'm not much of a gardener, and I know I'm standing here in front of a whole bunch of avid gardeners, so you know this better than I do. But I'm told in my reading that when you prune a branch of a fruit tree in a certain way, particularly when it starts to grow in on itself or starts getting reaching too far to the light or whatever it be, and you prune it, it becomes more fruitful because the energy is now used to grow fruit rather than to kind of work its way through a dodgy branch. That sound right? Is that what pruning's all about? You guys use will all your roses and stuff. Got to prune them at the right time of the year. So what does it mean then to be fruitful? Does it mean we're all going to have awesome ministries? We're going to go on, we'll never be sick and everybody's going to love us. Is that what it means for a Christian to be fruitful? Well, no. He goes on to say it like this in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against these there is no law. Jesus says because he is what we could not be, the Father is pruning us so we can grow in these areas. Now notice it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. You can't kind of take out one of them and grow in that area only and not grow in any of the other areas. That's counterfeit fruit. It's like the fruit that we stapled to the branch. It's not true fruit. It can't grow more fruit. If you lack forbearance, you're probably not loving. If you lack love, you're probably not walking in any real joy. And in our passage, we've got this beautiful interaction between joy and love in verse 9 to 15. If you lack joy, you're probably lacking in kindness. If you lack kindness, you're probably not walking in a lot of goodness. If you lack goodness, you're probably not being faithful. And if you lack faithfulness, well, you're probably not being gentle. This is a fruit that grows symmetrically over time. Now, I suspect that nobody here, that when we go through this list in Galatians 5, goes, Stephen, I'm nailing this. You don't have to say any more. I've been really encouraged, brother. None of us look at that list and go, we've nailed it, do we? I mean, we may be further on than we once were, but we've got a long way to go as well, haven't we, in all these areas of our life? All of us, everyone in this room, preacher included, need to be growing in the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Therefore, the Lord in his kindness prunes us so that we may grow in these areas. But here's the thing. Nobody likes to be pruned. Pruning, like loving discipline, can be painful at the time, but it results in the potential of more fruit. Jesus says, I am what you could not be, but my Father will grow you into who I am. And who am I? Well, I am perfect love, says Jesus. I am perfect joy. I am perfect peace. I am perfect kindness. I am perfect goodness. I am perfect faithfulness. I am perfect gentleness. I have perfect self-control. And these areas, I'm going to grow in you. How? Well, my Father will prune you so you will grow more like me. Now, I know that for me, it's been through the most difficult and painful experience in my life that I've seen God produce the greatest fruit in me. As I've clung on to Jesus in the most difficult of circumstances, God has challenged and rebuked me about my self-reliance, my pride, my sense of entitlement, my identity. He's stripped those things away, and it's been painful at the time. And let me say, so painful that I hope I've never got to be pruned again that way. Perhaps you're in a season right now where you're feeling this pruning. You feel like you're being cut back. You're in a heightened season of wrestling with doubts. You're feeling a lot of fear and anxiety. But rather than reading this as God abandoning you in your time of need, know that when you stay connected to Jesus, it might be that God is pruning you so that you will be much more fruitful for his glory. The disciples knew this feeling. Jesus says in verse 3, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And that word clean, prune, is the same Greek word. So Jesus is saying the Father's already been at work in them, pruning them to make them more like Jesus. But here's the important thing to see. It's not that the disciples kind of clean themselves up to be acceptable to God. No, God cleaned them when they believed the word that was spoken to them. It was because they believed, not because they did anything. In fact, keep in your mind that in just 24 hours, these same disciples are the very same disciples who will betray and deny Jesus outright. They're far from perfect, but God in his kindness is at work in them, even through this, to produce the fruit that will ultimately bring glory to him. Now, friends, there's so much more in this passage. I could be up here for hours in honesty. This is a passage of great richness. And the next little section is fantastic too. But I want to jump down to verse 16 because I don't want us to go home without this encouragement. Verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. The reason I want to kind of focus here is because I wrestled with this week. And frankly, if I wrestled this hard, we need to all know about it. Because it was a tough passage, a tough verse to understand. Why is this so that in this place, in this verse? Jesus says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. This first section I kind of get. At the very least, it's of course very clear because Jesus chose his disciples, didn't he? They didn't choose him. He chose the disciples. But the same is true, of course, of us. I mean, it wasn't that we were so godly, that we're so good, that we're so worthy, that God chose us. No, Jesus picks us out despite our unworthiness and chooses us to bear fruit and fruit that will last. So Jesus says, look, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I'm the initiator. And I chose you to bear fruit and fruit that would last. I mean, right there, the pressure's all taken off, isn't it? It's not like I've got to kind of produce fruit. I've got to produce fruit. No. Jesus says, calm down. I chose you. I appointed you. I'm going to make sure that through you, I bear fruit. Okay, so Jesus chose me. He's appointed me and I will bear fruit through him so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So is Jesus saying that the purpose, the reason why he chose us and appointed us to bear fruit is that the Father will give us what we pray for in Jesus' name? Well, that's what it says. And I actually wonder if this answers the question that so many of us have been asked. That if God truly does know what the future is going to be, then why do we pray? Why do we ask for anything? He knows what's going to happen, doesn't he? Where does prayer fit in? Why do we pray? But the problem we have there is that we so easily think that prayer is all about us. All about getting what we want. But we need to remember that all of our lives, when we eat, when we work, when we pray, it's all about God's glory. And so when Jesus chose us, he gave us his spirit and we became connected to him. We love him and we start to pray for things that please the Father, that ultimately wants to bring him glory. We're less worried about ourselves, more worried about him, because we love him, because we want him to be glorified, not only in our lives, but in the lives of our community. And the more we're connected, the more we love, the less we tend to pray for the selfish desires that we may have. I mean, James tells us that they don't get answered anyway, prayers of selfish desire. But the more you begin to pray for what God wants. And I think what this verse is saying is that God works in us to pray these prayers and then uses the very prayers to produce the fruit in our lives that bring him glory. That's what's going on here. And so as I reflected on this verse and this whole passage and reflected back on this last season of ministry and family life, I thought, why is it that I'm so stressed, so tired? Why do I have to keep running around as though I've got to make everything happen? And it was through these words I was reminded how often I've tried to go it alone. To try and please God and others on my own esteem, in my own strength, with the gifts and abilities I have. And yet as I look back, none of these things ever bore fruit. It was only the times that I rested in God's love and trusted myself to his leading that I could see the fruit that will last. Friends, today we've heard a promise from Jesus. If we remain in him, if we abide in him, as the old translations puts it, he will bear much fruit in our lives. But we do need to take caution, because Satan will do anything he possibly can to distract us from trusting Jesus and connecting to him. He knows if we remain in Jesus, stuff is going to happen. And so he'll throw every trick at us to separate us from the vine. And most of these tricks will look like the silver bullet. They will look like the magic answer as to how we can please God. He's going to encourage us to attach our branch to somebody else or something else so that we end up robbing God of the glory that he alone deserves. But if we remain in Jesus, the true vine, our shepherd, our friend, as our passage says, if we grow in our love for him and for others, God will bring glory to himself by pruning us to make us more like Jesus, and by working in our prayers to bring about that fruit of the Spirit that will last into eternity. Friends, this is the fruit that I want to produce in abundance in the next season of my ministry and my life. What about you? What about you? Let me pray. Our Father, this is an amazing passage and a really important corrective to many of us, I think. We can be so busy, so consumed by what we must do, that so many times we do that without doing that in you, resting in you, connected to you. We do it on our own steam, and we are sorry. It's not that you don't want us doing these great things. You just want us to do them in you. And the fruit that you're looking for is not all the good works, although they will come, but the changed lives that make us more like Jesus. Father, we pray that we'll go from here ensuring that we are connected to the vine and that we'll never disconnect. Father, we pray that we will do our ministry, live our lives connected to Jesus, the true vine, and remind ourselves that we are but the branches, and that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, will happen when we are connected that way. Thank you for this reminder, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.